This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9 at the business station. You are tuned in to Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM, hosted by a man who doesn't drive or even own a car. Coming up on today's show, we have a nice little feature. We're calling it the 110K car, for today's feature at least anyway. We decided to explore the idea of, if you had 110,000 ringgit, what car would you buy and why? So Daniel Fernandez joined me in the studio to talk to me about that, alongside Arif Roos, who's with me here now. We'll be talking to him in a minute. Then we looked at more plug-in hybrid stuff for our AT&T segment. But first, of course, it is the news with Arif Roos. Arif, welcome to the show. What have you got for me today?
So for the first one, fuel, he announced that the RON 95 and diesel prices will remain fixed for now. So 95 at 220, Euro 2M diesel at 218, Euro 5 diesel at 228. The RON 97, which stays at 247, will begin floating on the fuel adjustment system next week on June 7th. For the tolls, they've announced that 2 days before Raya, June 13th and June 14th, there will be half-price tolls everywhere in the country.
Yay! It would be better if there were no-price tolls everywhere in the country.
Well, you're in luck, because just yesterday, the Transport Ministry announced that the two highways will go toll-free. One is the Salat Highway, and the other one is the KL Seremban Highway, which actually is just one toll. The Sungai Besi Toll Plaza will go toll-free.
Excellent.
And next, the tax that everybody's been celebrating yesterday,
yes.
The GST zero-rated for 3 months. The PM announced that SST will be reintroduced in September 2018, so we have 3 months to buy stuff completely tax-free.
Everybody's going to be running out and buying everything.
Yeah. I'm not sure I'm prepared for that.
No, I'm not ready for that either, no.
So no official rate has been announced, but in any case, the proposed SST rate will have to pass through Parliament for approval anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And the fourth point that the Transport Ministry brought up was about trains, and the KL Singapore High Speed Rail project is off. And we now know that it was a 110 billion ringgit project that saves us less than an hour. And the PM described it aptly as unnecessary and will not earn a single cent for the Malaysians.
Not pulling any punches with his statement there.
No, and furthermore, the MRT3 has been cancelled too. It was reported to cost about 40 billion. And personally, I think I'm a little bit annoyed by this, because it's one of the things that I thought would bring Greater KL together. Mm. You know, it's a circle line that goes through Ampang, Kuala Lumpur, Sentul, and could lead you all the way to Hartamas, Pongkera, and Mid Valley. But the high costs, you know, I think people weren't too happy about that, but we're all just sitting and hoping that the government will come up with a better replacement.
Maybe they'll find a way of giving the contract to somebody who's going to, you know, pay the right amount of money for it, or vice versa.
It's really needed.
Okay, story number two then, about electronic license plates. We're not getting them here anytime soon, are we?
No.
What exactly is an electronic license? Is it just as simple as I think it is?
It is, basically. So the device is called the Reviver Plate, and it exists because of a problem that doesn't exist. So in California, every year when you renew your road tax, you have to stick a stamp, which is the size of a postage stamp, on your metal number plate.
Okay.
And the DMV, the California's DMV, they said that the mailing of these stamps cost them up to about $20 million a year. Despite this technology, it's basically a Kindle that you put on your car's number plate spot. And it kind of looks like a Kindle because it uses the e-paper technology.
Right.
It has a wireless system, but it costs $700. And in California, you need two.
So wait, hang on. So how much was the cost for the sending out the stamps? What were they estimating?
So it's $20 million a year.
For the postal service?
Yeah.
So $1,400 per driver in California.
Yep. On top of that, you have to pay $7 monthly subscription fee for that service.
Wow.
Yeah. And the other part about this thing is that if your car is stolen and you report it to the police, they can show the number plate as stolen.
That's smart.
In a utopian world, this would be great. But at $700 a piece, $1,400 for Malaysians, if it even reaches this part of the world,
it's a lot of money.
It's way too much money.
And hackers do exist.
Yeah. There's that question of data and hacking as well. And, you know, it's a real big issue, especially in this world. Mm. And especially the other thing, which is the cost of repair. If somebody hits you in the back and it breaks the number plate, $700 gone.
Just down the pan like that.
Yeah.
Wow, Arif Roos. Thank you very much for the news.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm joined in the studio now by Daniel Fernandez, of course, from DSF.my. And Arif Ruz has joined us in the studio for this particular segment. We decided that it'd be interesting to kind of throw out an idea, right? If you had a certain amount of money, what would you choose to buy and why? So our budget we set at around 110,000 ringgit. According to Arif, he said that was about right. Maybe I disagree with him. But that's the kind of figure that we arrived at, right? So what I did, I took to Twitter and I posted out, right? If you're budget was 110,000 ringgit, what car would you buy, be it new or second hand, and why? I had a grand total of one response.
You have a lot of fans.
I have so many fans. Yes. The response was, I would buy two Myvies.
Okay. I think that is coming from someone working in Perdua.
Right.
But actually, it's a good suggestion.
I don't think it's bad advice.
It's a good car. There's nothing wrong with it. But Arif, what do you think?
My first reaction to this was like, why?
Ah.
I mean, to use an analogy, that why would you buy two Fender Squires,
right,
and not buy a Fender Stratocaster straight away? It's
like
you have enough money to spend on one really good decent car that could last you forever.
Mm.
Hopefully,
I'm kind of debating on your theory of forever. Daniel, I mean, what do you think? I mean, for me, that sounded like sound advice, right? I mean, okay, I wouldn't buy two. I would buy one, and then I would use the remainder of the money to go on a nice holiday, or I'd save it, you know, for whatever reason.
The problem with this question is it's too generic because age groups are involved,
right.
Gender is involved. Okay, like for Arif, he's a young man. He's hoping to meet a lot of young people, mm-hmm. go out and party and everything else. So he's looking at a car that's a little bit trendy, a little bit stylish. When he arrives at his friend's house, he looks, you know, like he's arrived in a Honda Civic, because it's a nice looking car. It's got a lot of features, it's got a lot of space. You can also put the seats down and carry a lot of stuff. Now, in your case,
be careful.
You just want transportation.
Right.
You just want to get there.
Correct.
Because why? You're sitting in the studio for hours.
Right.
And you just want to get home, comfortable, car works,
yeah.
No headache.
That's right.
And then you want some leftover money to go on holiday to the Bahamas, yeah. And things like that. So there's two different schools of thought here. But if you sit down and ask me now, if in my present condition, in my present capacity, you know, a father of two, and my wife needs a car, and she says, no, we've got 110,000, what do we buy? I will actually go secondhand, because I don't believe in buying a new car at this day and age, simply because the depreciations are just ridiculous.
Right.
So if I needed a car for my wife, for example, and it's going to be a car that has to be used also by the family, I will actually look at a used Harrier.
How old would that be?
A 7-8-year-old Toyota Harrier is going for less than 100,000 now.
But, I mean,
it's boring. Yes, it's boring.
No, I mean, not the fact that it's boring. It's just that 7, 8 years old, it's kind of the sort of age where you can't trust the car, because it's got that sort of mileage about the 100Ks and all that stuff. And
it's probably even got 150,000, yes.
But if you're looking for a reliable car, I don't think you should go as far as 3 years.
Well,
okay, further than 3 years.
Carry on.
You see, yeah. I think if you're going to go for an older car, if you know how to get these cars fixed, and if you know that these cars actually are not very expensive to fix. And the third thing is, people who buy Harriers don't use them to tear around the streets. They drive from A to B in absolute calmness. They don't go off-road. They are not trashing the car. And surprisingly, their parts are not expensive. Generally, I can actually judge a car if the car has been abused or not. Generally. And you know, to find one that is in original condition, still the same paint, the interior has not been abused, the engine has been well looked after, you check the service record, and you do have a lot of this around, you look at a Toyota Harrier. But now I want to say something. If it was a car for myself, in my present capacity, I will not look at the Toyota Harrier.
Yeah. What would you look for?
I don't want to be sitting in a Toyota Harrier.
Mm.
Not because I'm arrogant, but because I like sports cars.
Right.
You're looking at cash, right? $110,000 cash. Now, take two instances. I've got $110,000 cash and I've got $110,000 budget, which means I'm going to get some loan on it. I would probably look at getting a secondhand Golf R32.
Okay.
Good choice.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, why I'll get a secondhand Golf R32? I'll get the first generation, which is actually a 3.2, six-cylinder, four-wheel drive. It's a real exciting car to drive. It sells today for between $70,000 to $80,000. Now, why I've kept that budget is because I need money to fix it.
Yeah.
The previous owner would have done some menace to it.
Yes.
So I've got some money
to fix
it. That's
why they bought it in the first place.
Exactly. Yeah. And I've got some money left over for the road tax and insurance. So that could be option one. Now, if I need to buy a car with a loan and still secondhand and still sporty, I would probably go maybe, I'm not really too sure here, but I'm thinking maybe a Porsche Boxster.
Okay, okay.
Whoa, straight up there.
Really are stretching that budget then as far as we can.
Because I got a loan.
Right.
Of course, it's not 110,000, it's about 140, 150. Mm. But if I can stretch the loan a little bit, and now with the GST being reduced, the used car dealers are sitting on stock that has just dropped. Fallen in value.
All right, all right.
Actually, I was doing this research. If it was me that was picking up, that had 110,000 ringgit to spend on myself, if it was my own car, I know exactly what I'm looking for. E92 335i BMW.
Good choice, good choice.
The best part is you can basically swap the new iDrive system into the current E92 iDrive system. So basically, to me, I don't think I need a car more modern than that. Okay. I think that fits every perspective. It's got four seats. It's comfortable. It's super fast. It's sleek. It looks pretty cool. Kind of ticks all my boxes.
Right, right, right. So that was what you would choose. Yeah. And that was what you would choose. Right. But for John Doe, right, this is our fella, 110,000 ringgit. You know, what would be, of all the suggestions that we've had here, for somebody who is not really a car person, wants to get to and from work, you know, and back, comfortable ride, of the suggestions that you've given me, what would we be going for, do you think?
Okay, is John Doe single or married?
He's probably single.
Okay, if John Doe is single, Porsche.
Really? We're going for a Porsche
then
Boxster?
After that, he'll be married.
Okay.
How much of a car guy is he? Because
Not much. He doesn't really care that much, I don't think.
If he's not a car guy, he's not going to get your BMW because he's got too much work to do to you.
No, he's going to buy the Harrier.
Yes,
that was for me. But, you know, something you said about this GST zero rated thing and dealers wanting to get let go of their old stock, right? Yes. So today I just found out that a 2018 2,000 kilometer Volkswagen Passat is selling for less than 110.
That's what I'm saying, because the prices are just dropping and dropping and dropping, and they're sitting on this stock and they can't do anything with it because, you know, immediately now new car prices have come down. People are trading in their cars because they want these new cars finally. Mm. They've been waiting. So what's going to happen to the used car market? It's a very shaky situation. Nobody is thinking about the used car dealer sitting on, say, 50 cars, which he bought at pre-GST price. Yes, he's got a margin to play with. But that 6% is actually quite a lot if you talk about, say, a $200,000 or $300,000 car.
Especially if he's got a bunch of them.
Exactly. Yeah. So the premium guys are really going to feel it. The guy selling cheaper used cars will say, okay, never mind, I'll fly with maybe just breaking even or making a couple of hundred.
Alright, we're going to have to wrap up this segment. That was interesting though. I think we should do something like this again. We're going to take a very short break, of course. Say goodbye to Arif Ruse for a little while.
Ciao.
And when we get back, Daniel will be still with us in the studio. We're talking about how whether or not we can have a plug-in hybrid system if we live in a condominium. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Cruise Control here on BFM 89.9. Welcome back. You are tuned into Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM 89.9. My name is Rich Bradbury, joined in the studio as ever with Mr. Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. Now, Daniel, so a question that you've often been asked, apparently. Can you own a plug-in hybrid if you live in a condominium?
Auto technology and tips brought to you by Volvo, made by Sweden.
Yes. Okay. Think about it. A lot of people are starting to live in condominiums.
Yeah.
And a lot of these people who live in condominiums are actually what I would call urban, hardcore city dwellers. Because why? They don't want to live slightly outside the city in a house. Because if you buy a house in the city, you got to be rich. Not to say condominiums are cheap, but end of the day, they're nearer to the city.
They're cheaper.
Yes. Yeah. So you work in the city, you live almost in the city, you want to get from A to B, you think about it, okay, I get a plug-in hybrid, drive on electric mode to work, as we've spoken before, and drive back. There'll be just so little power being used. Now, it's a great idea, and the cars are almost duty-free. So, of course, you think, okay, I'm going to buy this car. But a lot of people suddenly realize, where am I going to plug in the car? Mm. Okay, so number one, will your condominium have a wall box? Wall box means somewhere to plug in the car.
And if you're living on the 25th floor, it's not like you can buy a long enough extension cord to plug it into your apartment.
You could have an extension that long, but it just doesn't make any sense.
Exactly.
Yes. So the problem now is, do condo operators have this facility? Now, I know for a fact, I've gone and checked with a few friends of mine who live in condominiums, because when people ask me this question, I don't live in a condo. I'm lucky enough, I live in a nice little terrace house. And I say, okay, where would I plug in? All these places have actually power outlets at the car park, but they're located in certain locations for the cleaners to use a leaf blower or for someone to come and, you know, plug in their car wash Bosch device, or, you know, for whatever reason they need. Maybe they want to use their vacuum cleaner. So normally in the washing area there is. But if you park your plug-in hybrid there and you leave it there and people can't use it, what's the point? So I kept thinking about it and thinking about it, and then I said, okay, fine. This is a solution that we can encourage condominium owners. Now, of course, to build a wall box, expensive. They're not going to invest in it unless they're maybe five-star. Maybe they're thinking, okay, I've got maybe 10 owners who have the wall box.
They're future-proofing it, perhaps.
Yes. Or, better idea, think about it. Nobody washes their car after 8 or 9 p.m. They only wash their car maybe up to 6, 7.
It's normally at 7 a.m. on a Sunday morning. You
exactly.
You're trying to get an extra set of sleep.
Exactly, because they want you to come down and help them.
That's right.
So the best way is to think about it. Talk to the condominium operator and say, okay, now, you've got 3 bays here for car wash. You've got a plug out there. Can I put my plug-in hybrid there and charge it overnight with the promise that I unplug by early morning?
That makes sense. Yeah.
Makes sense. Now, once you have 2 or 3 people doing that, and then the condominium owner can say, okay, listen, I think it's worthwhile for us to invest maybe in certain parts of the car park, this wall box, or maybe extra plug points. But then who's going to pay the electricity bill?
Right.
That is something which has to be worked out between the tenants association. But to answer the question, yes, you can have it. But when you go to work, sorry,
that's it.
You can't charge.
Yeah.
So you must be able to charge a full charge, get to work. But remember this, a plug-in hybrid still has a petrol engine. So even if you run out of juice, you can still drive to and fro work. You're not, you know, going to be abandoned at the side of the road, which will happen if you have an electric car.
Let me ask you a question, right? In terms of the newer condos that are being built, are they kind of future-proofing it for people that want to buy plug-in hybrid vehicles?
I think developers are not thinking about it.
They're not thinking about it.
Because you know what? It doesn't benefit them.
Right.
But if you ask me, if you are a smart developer, you know this is coming. You've seen the number of cars on the road. If you already factored that plug-in hybrid consumers coming to your place, and maybe even when you sell your condominium, say, hey, we've got 5 wall boxes. Okay, you're investing in the wall boxes a few $1,000s. But then you can charge it back to them proportionately.
Yeah.
And you'll get back your money. Yeah. And you can call yourself a green condominium.
Right. Good segment, though. Interesting in that. Right. We're going to take a short little break. When we come back, we'll be talking about a car review. Of course, it is the Honda City Sports Hybrid. Daniel took it for a bit of a spin. Don't go anywhere. Cruise Control here on BFM 89.9.
This segment was brought to you by Volvo. Inspiring technology. Shaping tomorrow's mobility.
That was AT&T here on Cruise Control on BFM 89.9. Now, it's time for our little car review. You got the chance to take a little spin in the Honda City Sport Hybrid. How
yes,
was it?
Yes, okay. We test drove this car actually a few months ago when it first came out. First thing you have to understand, the Honda City, super popular car.
Yes.
It's just got the right ingredients for someone on a budget, but needs a little bit more space, a little bit more style, someone who wants to, you know, maybe think to himself, okay, I don't want a locally made car. When I say locally made, I'm talking about Proton or Perdua.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they're bad or anything like that, but somebody just wants to move up the economic ladder.
I'll be honest, the Honda City was the car that I was looking at if I was to have that amount of money.
Yeah. So this review is for you.
Pretty much, yes.
Okay.
So I'm now waiting with bated breath.
Okay. To start with, the looks between the hybrid and the non-hybrid, it looks almost the same. Only little small little features like the lights and the badges and the rims and all that. But that's not the issue here. The issue here is when you get into the car, what are you getting? You're getting still that Honda quality, Honda safety features, 6 airbags, you know, vehicle stability control, ABS, everything is still there. But you must understand, as a hybrid, this car carries a little bit more weight in it. Okay, so there's something sitting in the back seat, which will, I think we talked about it before, you know, the battery pack sitting in the back seat. So you might hear a little bit of
a whining.
A little bit, very little. If you have, you know, no radio on, you're sitting in a quiet car park, you'll hear something a little bit. And that's the fan running to cool the battery system. But all that is not the real issue here. Does this car drive like a regular car? Of course it does. It's a hybrid. It's not a plug-in hybrid. It's just a simple hybrid. It's a simple system that just does this. You start the car, you put it in economy mode, and you drive it. In heavy traffic, you're not going to go anywhere fast. So this is what I was saying some time ago, how, you know, when you come to a traffic light and you see a hybrid car in front of you, the person doesn't accelerate.
Slowly moves up.
He coasts away. Mm. Because why? He wants to get maximum efficiency for the car. Now, if you're buying this car to save fuel, of course you will save fuel. Now, how much you will save will depend on how much coasting and how relaxed your driving style is. Now, I don't want to share figures because whenever we share figures, people get upset because they turn away and say, oh, I didn't get that figure.
Right.
Okay. Now, nobody can get the best in class figure unless you're sitting and concentrating and saying, okay, I want to reach this figure. Give me some time. Control environment. Not much traffic. I will get this figure. Yes.
And every day is dynamic. Every day changes.
Every day is dynamic. Yeah. So the best thing you can do is think about it. I would say 10 to 15% saving, not an issue, even if you don't think about it. That means you just get in the car and drive. But the beauty about these hybrid cars is because there's two things working for you in hard acceleration. Because in normal mode, you have your engine running. And then when you, you know, when you drive slowly or diligently or you're just coasting, the battery pack comes to work. When you stop, the battery is working for you to keep the aircon running. Because previously, these hybrid cars, when you stop at a traffic light, the battery comes to work and reduces the cooling of the aircon system. With the new city hybrid, no longer a problem. So you actually get the aircon still running at full blast. Now, why do they call it a sports hybrid? Because actually, there's a bit of excitement to be had. Because if you're thinking, okay, I want to go outstation, I'm cruising along at 90, and this guy in a Honda Civic comes and, you know, rushes past me, I'm just feeling a bit agitated, you put the pedal to the metal, and this car will move.
Mm.
This car will move. Because then you get both power plants working for you. So that's the good news if you need power. But of course, it's a family sedan. What do you look for in a family sedan? Number one, you want aircon vents at the back. Why? Because you have people sitting at the back. It has. Number two, will three people fit at the back? Now, your height, no, because you're very tall. But the average Malaysian height, three adults at the back.
No problem.
No issue. If you've got two small kids, you put two baby seats, you can still squeeze in a helper in the middle row. The boot. Honda Cities have always had big boots. And this car still comes with a big boot. There's enough space for all your luggage to go, say, you know, travel across the border for 5 days. This is the beauty about buying a car like this. You don't pay a lot of money, but you get a lot of sensible features. Some people say, you know, is it enough style? Is it enough glamour? If you're looking at a car below 100,000, if you're looking for style and glamour, I think you've come to the wrong place.
Yeah.
You're thinking of function, you're thinking of resale value,
yeah.
You're thinking of saving a bit of fuel where possible, and of course, low maintenance. So it's a 1.5cc engine, 4-cylinder, 16-valve IVTEC, 7-speed gearbox, 170 newton meters of torque when both engines are working. The price is 89,000 ringgit with GST. Now, without the GST, it's just above 80,000 ringgit. Now, I don't have the exact figure because things are dynamic at the moment. Prices are changing. But 80,000 ringgit for a family sedan with all the safety features and the space, very hard to argue the point.
And it kind of fits in with the budget that we were talking about earlier on in the show.
Actually, you're right. For a new car, yes.
For a new car.
Yes. And you have 30,000 left over because your budget is 110.
That's right.
You got 30,000 to go on a holiday and bring me along.
There you go. Right. Okay, let's get on to the 10-point inspection then. Right. Okay. Who would you say this car is for?
I would say for families who have had Malaysian-made cars and they just want to go up the ladder a little bit.
That one notch.
Just that one notch.
All right. Okay. Does it ride well on Malaysian roads? Is it comfortable?
Yes. Hondas are always been very comfortable.
Is it fun to drive? Does it handle corners well?
Okay. It's not designed for going around corners fast. If you want to actually go around the corners fast, you have to change the suspension, you have to change the tires and all that. Not to say that it doesn't handle, but it's not designed for that. But it'll go around a corner decently. You'll be able to get a screech or two in a few corners.
All right. Is the engine any good? Does the engine suit the car?
The engine is very good. The 1.5 engine actually works very well with this car.
Is it economical?
Yes, it is.
Is the infotainment system any good? Has it got all that kind of stuff?
It's got everything that you need. It's got a 7-inch touchscreen that you can pair your phone with and do everything that you need to do.
All right. In terms of other features, USB ports, leather seats, reverse camera.
Reverse camera got USB ports front and back.
Well built?
Well built, yes.
Is it value for money?
Yes, because of the tax incentives and it's got the EV status, 80,000 ringgit. Very hard to find an alternative.
Final question then. Would you recommend this car?
I would recommend it to you because you're not looking for performance. You're looking for good, basic family transport. And, of course, I'm sure you're going to go outstation once in a while. Maybe go for a beach holiday and all that.
Of course.
You know, so I think for your use, Richard, perfect. For a young couple with no children, also good. For someone who needs a car, single guy who needs a car, and he's not too worried about status symbol, but he just wants a car to get to work and back, once in a while take his friends out, once in a while go back and visit his parents in the small town, perfect.
Great. That was a review of the Honda City Sport Hybrid here on Cruise Control. Thank you very much earlier on to Arif Ruse for coming in and giving us some, I wouldn't say sound advice on which car to buy on our little feature there. Of course, you have been listening to Cruise Control with me, Rich Bradbury, and of course, Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.